Okay, we're starting at the Mishnah at Mem Vav Amud Bet at the bottom. Gilech ala zevach v'nimtza pasul. Let's say he shaves after he does a korban, and then it turns out that the korban was pasul. Okay, remember we had this whole discussion yesterday about whether when he stops being a Nazirite and how it all works, and if one korban's enough or he needs all of the korbanot to be done and the tiglacha to be done. So now we're shifting a little to what if he shaved, because you're supposed to shave after doing a korban. So he shaves and it turns out the korban was pasul. For, you know, there's all sorts of reasons a korban could be pasul. So what happens? So what do they say? Tiglachato psula uzvachav lo alulo. Okay, and if it turns out, so here, like, I'll give you an example of a pasul that they bring up here. So either it could be the blood spilled, like, you know, you're supposed to sprinkle the blood, and let's say you lose the blood, or it becomes tameh, something happens to it. So now, what do they say? Since you did this tiglacha together with this korban, and then you want to now finish up, you know, you do this whole process of all your korbanot, they're not good. They don't count for him.
And the tiglacha okay? doesn't count?
And the tiglacha clearly doesn't count, right? Tiglacha psula. And then he would have to do a whole, so then what does he have to do? He has to wait. There was a machloket, 30 days or 7 days? And is a 7-day growth sufficient? Or does he need 30 days and then he needs to do, right? So now he's stuck. Yeah, what's your question?
But it seems to me that I don't know whether they're going to go in this direction. There's a difference between bringing an animal that turns out to have been pasul from the beginning and bringing a korban that's absolutely fine when you do the tiglachat and then they lose the blood.
Yeah, but
it seems to me that at the time you did the tiglachat,
you were okay. But now it's not. And you did it connect. That's the whole chiddush.
Right, but it's not your fault.
You did it connected with a korban and the korban got messed up. It's true it's not your fault, but
in fact,
the end,
could have lost it.
You didn't have this tiglachat going with a good korban.
The tiglachat was fine at the time.
The question is, what's the time? The time that's significant is the sprinkling of the blood. That's what we've seen before, right? That's the moment. So because of that, if at that moment it's not good, then basically...
But at the moment you did the tiglachat, everything
right,
was still fine.
That's true. But...
depends if it's makev or not.
If what's makev?
Any of it.
The tiglachat or the... Well, here it seems like none of his korbanot. In other words, he did it with the... Right, the question is, did he have other korbanot that worked? And if they did work, then maybe it would
was
be okay.
The first or the third?
Right.
Because that didn't...
It says in English after the first.
Right, it seems like the first. And because the first got messed up, then also.
But that's
not so clear. Rashi says alachav mizvachav. It's not so clear if it was the first. Yeah.
What's the procedure is that they slaughter the animal, they take its blood, and then they put it on the fire.
And
at what point does he shave? Isn't it when they put it on the fire? Weren't we learning yesterday? When it's on the fire.
Yeah. Right, while it's
but
on
then
the fire.
It's already been thrown.
So first of all, just because he's shaving, he might not know what's going on inside. And he might not know that the blood spilled. And as here it says even, v'nimtza pasul. It turns out, in other words, it becomes clear to him after. It sounds like he might not have even known that that had happened. Okay, because he's not, right? Remember the picture, right, in the map. He's outside, right? He's not on the inside where they're doing the korban. So it's very possible that it happened before and he just doesn't know. Right, so Tosfot says here, "Uzvachav lo alulo, shar hazvachim sheikriv acharei hatiglachat." And they're claiming that they're talking about that the tiglachat was done on the first, and the first turned out to be pasul, and then all the korbanot that he did after that, obviously he must not have known, because otherwise they wouldn't have continued doing the korbanot. All the ones he did after are no good. Okay, so now... we're going to see some other cases. Gilech ala chatat shelo lishma. Okay, now we talked many moons ago, I can't remember in what context. I must have been in Chagiga, I feel like. But maybe not. Maybe it was in Yoma. I think it came up in Pesachim, actually. Yeah, it was in Pesachim. If you do a chatat, if you do the korban shelo lishma, okay, you do it for the wrong intent. You have in mind that you bring a chatat for something else, and then really what you meant was to bring the chatat of the Nazir. That's called chatat shelo lishma. Chatat shelo lishma is pasul lagamre. Okay? This is going to be similar to things we saw about the difference between the chatat and the ola and the shlamim that we saw earlier in the Masechet. If you bring an ola and a shlamim shelo lishma, So they can count. This is where it came up by Korban Pesach. If you do a Korban Pesach with the wrong machshavot in your head, so since Korban Pesach is a Korban Shlamim, it counts as a Shalmei Nedavah. Okay, by Ola and Shlamim, there's a concept of you can bring it voluntarily, whereas by Chatat, you can't bring it voluntarily. So therefore, if you bring a Shlamim or an Ola, and you have the wrong intent, you don't intend to bring it for Nizirut, you bring it for something else, and you really, but in the end, you say, oh, well, it was for my Nizirut. It doesn't count. It's no good. But it counts as a good Korban. It just doesn't work for what you wanted it to work for. Whereas the Chatat is Pasulagamri. So if you were Gilech ala Chatat Shelo Lishma, lishman, then you bring the other korbanot lishma, tiglachato psula. Okay, because, again, you did the giluach on the chatad, and it was for the wrong intent, and the chatad that's for the wrong intent is pasula gamre. Uzvachav lo alulo. And then the other korbanot don't count, because, again, he did the giluach, and then he brought the korbanot, and they don't count, because already it was messed up. Gilach ala ola o ashlamim shalo lishma, vacharkach hevi korbanotav lishman. What if he does the Ola or the Shlamim Shalo Lishma, and he does the Giluach with that, but then he brings his other Korbanot Lishma, Tiglachato Psula Uzvachav Lo Alulo. Same thing, okay? According to Tanakama, we'll see why they separate them, because according to Tanakama, it's all the same. If you did it on the wrong, you had the wrong intent for the Korban, it's no good.
Right, so I think
whether he says it or whether the Mishnah organized it this way is because the Mishnah wants to distinguish the second case. So I think that's why they did it. Rabbi Shimon Omer Hazeva, really, because now Rabbi Shimon's commenting on the second case. Okay, so now Rabbi Shimon Omer Oto Hazevach Lo Alalo, right? That Shlamim he did, let's say, it was a Shlamim Shalo Lishma, doesn't count for him. Aval Shar Zvachim Alu. Okay, so we'll stop here for a minute. But the other zvachim work. Why? Because in the end, he had a kosher korban. It just wasn't good for nizirut. So let's say he brings a shlamim, shalo lishma, and he's gileach on that. Since the korban itself was good, as opposed to the chata, where it was a totally pasul korban, since the korban counts, this counts for his tiglachat. He brings the ola and the chatat after, so those are fine, because he had a kosher tiglachat, and then he has to bring a new korban shlamim l'shem nizirut. Clearly, Rabbi Shimon doesn't think his shlamim counted for nizirut, but it counted enough to make his tiglachat kshira, and therefore allow him to continue, not to passel everything else. Vim gilech al shloshtan, let's say he did all three korbanot and then shaved. Vinimtza achav mehem kasher tiglachato kshira v'yavi shar zvachim. Now this matches the opinion we saw before that, right, all three korbanot are ma'akev, you just need one korban. So therefore, if he did a shaving on on all three korbanot, and it turned out two were pasul, but one was kasher, so that's fine. And then he just needs to fix the two that were messed up.
So what's the difference between that and the one before?
Because one before that he did
the one before
was that he
the one before his, he did it on the shlamim shalo lishma.
Oh.
The first case, Rabbi Shimon is talking about the Shlamim Shalo Lishma.
Yeah,
right. And also, it's here it talks about whether they're Pasul or Kasher. It could be this Dam was Nishbach. It wasn't. There's two issues going on here. One is, was it a Korban Pasul, meaning, did you lose the blood? Did you become Tameh? Did the Korban become Tameh somehow? Was there some sort of technical problem in the Bitsua,
the process?
The other was that you did, particularly it was the Lishma issue. And there was the only case where we would distinguish between the Chatat, the Ola, and the Shlamim, possibly according to Rabbi Shimon, because the Chatat is totally Pasul, whereas the Shlamim and the Ola can count as Nidavot, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, those are okay. Okay. Whereas the other issue with the Psul would be a Psul for all of them, and then that would just be, it doesn't matter which one, as long as one is Kasher, according to this opinion, then that's okay. I don't think that this last line is Rabbi Shimon. Right, it's not. This last line is just, everyone agrees with this last line. Now, you have to say everyone agrees. It would be a question, though, would Rabbi Eliezer agree, who holds that you need everything as ma'akev? Seemingly, he wouldn't agree. But everyone in this Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon and Tanakama, would agree with this line. Okay, this isn't specifically Rabbi Shimon. Okay, Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, Zot Omeret, Kasava Rabbi Shimon Nazir Shigilech al Shalmei Nedava Yetzah. Right, what can we infer from here, says Rav Ada Bar Ava? The Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that a Nazir that does his Giluach on Shalmei negava is yotze. My tama, so what's his logic? Where does he get it from? Actually, it's not logic, I shouldn't say. Where does he learn it from? I'm going to derive it from a pasuk. Damar kra v'natan ala esh asher tachat zevach ha-shlamim v'lo katav al shlamav. It says, he puts it on the fire, right, the tiglachat, with the zevach ha-shlamim, which is a very general shlamim. It means any shlamim. Whether it was a shlamim shelo lishma or it was a shlamim lishma. Okay? And it doesn't say zevach shlamav, his shlamim. Right? It sounds like he could actually put it under any shlamim, right? But obviously they mean it was his korban shlamim, not just anyone else's korban shlamim. But since it doesn't say his, it could mean not even his for nizi root. It could mean just a shalmei nedeva. Okay? I assume still that even though we can derive this from the pasuk, that he's not referring to l'chatchila. That l'chatchila, he could just bring a korban shlamim to the giluach on that. You know, I think only if it happened this way, I assume it's b'di'evet. Okay, new Mishnah, and then we'll finish up this parak. Mishin nizrak alav acha min adamim v'nitma. Okay, someone who they sprinkle the blood of one of the korbanot, and then he became tameh. Okay, we've talked about this in the past. Okay, so what happens now? He does the dam of one of the korbanot. We said the dam is the ikar, right, the main thing. He does the dam, or at least one of the major, right, obviously also burning it is the ikar, but this is, right, this rikat dam is done, and then it becomes tameh. Rabbi Lezer omer soterat hakol lishitato, right? Because what does Rabbi Lezer say? Everything is ma'akev, and he's only done one korban. V'chachamim omrim yavi shar korbanotav v'yitar. Okay? He says, you bring, right, the rest of the korbanot, and you're fine. Okay? Obviously, he would have to do what? If he was nitma, he'd have to wait 7 days, even according to Chachamim, before he could, right, to get over the tuma problem, and then he could finish bringing the rest of his korbanot. Amrulo, ma'aseh b'Miriam ha-Tarmudit, okay, that's the name of a place, although the Tarmudaim was also like a group of people. It comes up by Hanukkah, okay? In Masechet Shabbat, it talks about the Tarmudaim, because what's Ad Shetichle Regem Min Hashuk? So the Gemara says, what does that mean? And the Mefreshim will try to figure out what are the Tarmudaim. So they say it was either some nation of people that were the wood choppers, or it was a place where they would chop wood. So here it comes up again. So Miriam from this place, okay, Shenizrak aleha echad min adamim. By the way, this would be against the opinion that it was all non-Jews, because she was clearly Jewish. So they sprinkled the blood of one of the korbanot. Ubal v'amrula al bita shaitam esukenet. And in the middle of her doing the korbanot, they said, listen, your daughter is going to die. V'halchau matza'a shemeta. So she obviously stops in the middle. She goes and she turns out.
This example is a woman.
Right. Yes. Halchau matza'a shemeta. And they saw she had died. Okay, she can bring the rest of her korbanot and finish with her nizirut. Okay, so again, she'd have to wait the 7 days to get over the tumah mate, and then she'd be able to bring her korbanot, and you don't have to start the process from the beginning. Okay, another case of a woman nizira. We've now had two. Okay, katane. So the Gemara starts like this. It quotes the Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer Omer Soteret Hakol. So now they say, wait a minute, but doesn't this contradict something Rabbi Lezer said elsewhere? If you remember this, V'hama Rabbi Lezer, kol echar melot shiv'a soter. Rabbi Lezer had said that if you finish your days, remember we had that whole thing, what if you become tamei when you finish your days? Right, which wasn't talking about, this is even past that. Not only have you finished your days, but you've now started bringing your korbanot. So what does he say? He says, once you finish your days and you become tamei, what happens? Shiv'a soter. You're soter 7 days. Okay? Meaning, you only have to count another 7 days. You don't need to start from the beginning. So Amar Rav, my soter nami deka Amar Rav Elazar, soter korbanotav. Okay? What does it mean when he says soter? It means, soter et akol means it canceled out his korbanot. It didn't mean it canceled his nizirut. It means it canceled his korbanot, and then he'd need to wait the 7 days, right? And then he'd be able to bring his korbanot again. Hachinami mistabram, we could even prove it from here. Listen carefully to the words. Dekatane, now it's not Rabbi Lezer's opinion, that's why you have to be careful when you read. Bechachamim amrim, what do chachamim say in the Mishnah? Yavi, it's a mistake here. It's not Tevi, it's Yavi. Yavi shar korbonotav v'titar. Shma mina. What does that mean? Lezer says he has to bring all the korbanot from the beginning, right? And Chachamim say he just has to bring the rest of the korbanot. And the fact that Chachamim say he brings the rest of the korbanot means he must be relating to Rabbi Lezer, who thought you should bring all the korbanot. Okay, so therefore, so Teres HaKol doesn't mean his whole Nizirut is canceled and he has to start from the beginning. So basically, the guy finishes his Nizirut. He starts bringing a korban. The dam was Nizrak already of the first korban. And then he becomes Tameh. According to Chachamim, he waits 7 days, and then he brings the rest of the korbanot. According to Rabbi Lezer, he has to start, and as he only waits the 7 days, but then he has to basically start his korbanot process from the beginning, not his nizirut. And Masenami b'Miriam ha-Tarmudit shenizrak alei acham en adamim uba v'hodiyu al bitah shehayta mesukenet v'alchah u'matzah shemeta v'amru chachamim tavi shar korbanotea v'titar shma mina. So another proof is again with Miriam, again the same thing. She had to bring the rest of her korbanot. She didn't have to bring all her korbanot, right? Which means, again, that the approach here is that if Chachamim and Rabbi Lezer disagree, they don't disagree about everything. They must just disagree about one point. So if Chachamim think it's that they have to bring the rest of the korbanot, it must be the Rabbi Lezer thinks they have to bring all the korbanot. By the way, you can see where this mistake came about. Tavi shar korbanoteha was the quote about Miriam, because she was the woman, Tavi. And the Yavi, right, is the earlier part where Chachamim say he should bring. Yeah. So the mistake came in because they were repeated the wrong line. You know, they were looking at the wrong place. Okay, Hajon Alach Shal Shaminim. Now we're going to start a new parak. Okay, we're going to start here about a Kohen Gadol. We're still with a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir becoming Mitameh Lamet. Okay, which we learned already, the Kohen Gadol, a Nazir is like a Kohen Gadol, we'll do it that way, because the Kohen Gadol we know very well, that the Kohen Gadol can't be Mitameh to anybody, even his close relatives. Likewise, the Nazir can't become Mitameh to any of his close relatives. There's one major exception. What's the exception? That a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol can both be Mitameh? A Meit Mitzvah. Okay, what's a Meit Mitzvah? A Meit Mitzvah is someone who is dead and nobody is there to deal with the burial. Okay? It's taken very, very seriously in Halakha. It overrides basically almost everything. Okay, it's seen as a very important halacha, you know, a very important responsibility. And therefore, if you're in the mitzvah, you stop what you're doing. If you're, you know, it cancels out lots of things. And particularly in our case, it cancels out a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir. What we're going to have now is a bit of a values discussion. Whose is more important? So if you have a conflict, that's basically the whole sugya today is going to be about. When you have these conflicts between two different people, whose kedusha is more important? Okay, it's going to get even more interesting as we go through. Kohen gadol v'nazir, ein mitam'im l'krovehen, ava mitam'im l'meit mitzvah. Okay, so both the Kohen gadol and the nazir can't be mitam'im to their relatives, but they can be to a meit mitzvah. Hayu mahachim baderech. Okay, so it sounds like a beginning of a joke, right? A Kohen gadol and a nazir are walking down the street. And they see a meit mitzvah. So now, what's clear here, right, the obligation of the meit mitzvah came upon them both at the same moment, basically. Rabbi Lezer omer, yitma kohen gadol va'al yitma nazir. Okay, better the kohen gadol becomes tameh and not the nazir. V'chachamim omrim, yitma nazir va'al yitma kohen. Better that the nazir become tameh and not the kohen. He says this, va'al yitma kohen idiot. And it even beats out a Kohen Hedyo. Okay? And as we started with the Kohen Gadol Nazir. So obviously, according to Rabbi Lezer, the Kohen Gadol, right, should become Tameh and obviously a Kohen Hedyo, right? It doesn't even need to be said, as opposed to the Nazir. But, right, the Nazir is on the highest Madrega. But according to the Chachamim, the Nazir is even below the Kohen Hedyo. Amar lahem Rabbi Lezer, because remember, the Kohen Hedyot is allowed to be mitameh to the seven relatives, but not to anybody else. So also he has a problem. Amar lahem Rabbi Eliezer, yitma kohen she'eino mevi korban al tumato, va'al yitma nazir shu mevi korban al tumato. What does he say? Why is the nazir more chamor? Because he has to bring a korban, a special korban, if he becomes tameh, right? In addition to getting out of his tumah, he also has to bring a set of korbanot. Whereas a Kohen Gadol, there's no set of korbanot the Kohen Gadol has to bring. So what does he say? It must be, if he has to bring this korbanot, by the way, it's interesting, this is Rabbi Lezer, who thinks that all the korbanot are ma'akev, right? It matches his whole approach here, which is the korbanot are seen as very seriously as all part of this process. So number one, he said, you know, yesterday that if you didn't do all the korbanot, then it doesn't you know, your nizirut is still there. As opposed to the other opinion, right? We saw chachamim were more mekel with that and said, no, as long as you did one part of it, one korban, you're okay. And here he says, the korbanot being so serious here, the fact that he has to bring a whole set of korbanot just for becoming tamei lameit must prove that that's more serious because the Kohen Gadol doesn't have any korbanot to bring. If you think about it also, like a korban chatat, right? Sounds like he did a chet, the nazir. But even though he didn't do something wrong, he didn't on purpose become tamei lameit, but he has to bring a korban chatat. Whereas a Kohen Gadol doesn't bring a korban chatat if he becomes tamei lameit. So, okay. That's his approach. Amru lo, so what are Chachamim going to say? Yitma nazir she'en kedushato kedushat olam. Va'al yitma kohen she'kedushato kedushat olam. Okay, right? There's a different, right? This is a different approach. It's not how you get out of it. It's how you got into it, right? And the fact that you're always in it. So Kohen Gadol, his Kedusha must be much greater and therefore not breakable because he's a Kohen Kedushat Olam. Whereas a Nazir is not, he wasn't born into it, right? Even if you say he's a Nazir Olam, let's say someone takes upon Nazirut forever, he still wasn't born into it. Unless you're Shimshon. But the Gemara, they do talk about a Nazirut Shimshon, but Nazirut Shimshon, I don't even think they necessarily mean he took it from birth. As it could be you have someone who took it from birth, and even if you go that far as to say you took it from birth, some of the Mefarshim say that it's not the matter of is it your whole life or not your whole life, but is it that you were born into it or you took it upon yourself? In other words, was it inborn, right? Even in your feet, right?
Not the choice.
Right. Okay, so there's a few different approaches about how exactly to understand this. Okay. Bishlama. So now the Gemara starts already and says like this. Okay, Bishlama is a structure, you remember it? It starts like this. It says, this we're going to understand, but there's something else we don't understand. It's basically raising a question by comparing it to something that makes a lot of sense, and then saying in comparison, something doesn't make so much sense, and there's always an answer that answers it up. Okay, right? Sometimes the Gemara has questions they don't answer. Bishlama structure always has an answer. Bishlama kohen gadol v'nazir ha'isavar kohen gadol adif v'ha'isavar nazir adif. Okay, we understand this machloket. The Mishnah explained it already, right? He has his logic, and he has his logic, and we understand. But what if you have Meshuach b'shemen ha-mishcha umerubeh b'gadim. Okay, so who would be adif? Now, you have to understand what these terminologies are. What? Okay. So, a meshuach b'shemen ha-mishcha, if you remember we learned about Yoshiyahu, that there was, Moshe made the shemen ha-mishcha, okay, in the beginning, right? The miluim, right? In the first few days of the Chanukah ha-mishkan, he made the shemen ha-mishcha, and that shemen ha-mishcha, it says in the pasuk, is supposed to be used forever. Okay, now when Yoshiyahu was living toward the end of the Bayit Rishon, he saw that things were going bad, and he was, according to the Masoret, he was gonez the Shemen HaMishcha because he didn't want it getting into the wrong hands. Okay, so he hid it basically, and it was never found. Okay, he hid it; no one ever knows what happened to it. So until that time, basically, Kohanim. The Kohen Gadol was Mashuach b'Shemen HaMishcha. They would pour the Shemen HaMishcha on him as part of the process. Once that didn't exist, okay, we're going to see though, maybe even when it existed, maybe sometimes there were situations where, because what's going to be the problem? If it was a historical thing, then you'd never end up with this quandary of how do you deal with the Mashuach b'Shemen HaMishcha and the Merubeh B'Gadim. If the Merubeh B'Gadim is in play, right, is the, okay, so we'll talk about that in a minute. The Merubeh B'Gadim is, if we don't have the Shemen HaMishcha, so as soon as you remember the Kohen wears 4 B'Gadim, the Kohen Hedyot, and the Kohen Gadol wears 8 B'Gadim, okay? 8 garments. So he, when he puts on the Kohen Gadol garments, that's his anointing process. So when you don't have the Shemen HaMishcha, and he just puts on the B'Gadim of the Kohen Gadol, he becomes the Kohen Gadol. I don't think it means anyone can put on the B'Gadim, but if you're supposed to be the Kohen Gadol and you put on the B'Gadim, that's your anointing process. So the question the Mefarshim ask is, how could you possibly have a Kohen Meshuach HaMishcha together with a Kohen Merubeh B'Gadim? So they answer up that basically you could say that maybe in the time when Yoshiyahu was still around, right, there was a guy who was the Kohen Gadol, and let's say he got sick and he stopped being a Kohen Gadol, or he was Nitma. And then already Yoshiyahu hid it, so the next guy comes in, so it could be in his time there could have been an overlap. Okay. However, why would you have a discussion about this many generations later? I actually thought that maybe they're talking about in the future when they think maybe, you know, maybe there was a belief that they would actually find the Shemen HaMishcha. And that they're talking about, in theory, if we had the Shemen HaMishcha, and the other option is to say that, because no matter, if you don't think they're going to find the Shemen HaMishcha, then it's still difficult. Why are you having a discussion about this? Because certainly now, there is no Shemen HaMishcha. But let's say you think that you could eventually find it. You could have a situation where you have both. And what would that be? Let's say the Kohen Gadol suddenly habits him on Yom Kippur or Erev Yom Kippur, and there's not enough time to go and anoint the Kohen Gadol. He just sticks on his clothes and he starts working. Mm-hmm. So it could be that you would have a situation where even when there was Shemen HaMishcha, that you might have had a Kohen move evidence. Okay? Either which way you look at this, maybe it's just a theoretical question, and they're just asking a values discussion as to who had greater kedusha and what the issue was. So we'll see. Meshuch b'shemen amishcha umerube begadim. Meshuch b'shemen amishcha adif. De'ilu meshuch b'shemen amishcha mevi par habal kol ha'mitzvot. Ve'ilu merube begadim ein mevi meshuch ein mevi. Period. Okay. So what is this? This is there's the whole section in Vayikra about if the Kohen teaches the wrong halacha, right? If there's the parhalim dabar shel tzibur, if the tzibur got a wrong, they were taught wrong how to do something and they made a mistake, so they bring a par for that. And there's like all these special korbanot of leaders who make mistakes. So it talks in the psukim dafka about the Kohen HaMashuach, and he brings a special the par habal kol ha'mitzvot. Whereas only the Merube B'gadim brings, just like if it was a Parhelim Dever Shel Tzibor. In other words, he brings something else. Parhelim Akolim Mitzvot Kamo Tzibor, right? He brings the one that the Tzibor would bring, and the Kohen HaMashiach brings a special one for being a Kohen HaMashiach. So what do they say? Again, this is like Rav Eliezer. It all depends on the Korbanot, right? The Korbanot show that he's in a different status. Okay, there's the Nasi in those psukim, there's the Kohen HaMashuach. So because it specifically says Kohen HaMashuach, and he's the only one who brings this par habal kol mitzvot, therefore he must be in a higher madrega than the Merubeh B'gadim. Okay, even without this, you would assume also that he'd be on a higher madrega, because obviously the Merubeh B'gadim is doing it only because he has no choice, right? Otherwise he'd do the Shemen HaMishcha. But they want to bring it from a more, you know, like a more clear-cut thing, which is there's a difference in the halacha in terms of this korban. Meshuach sha'avar u'merube begadim. Okay, so what do they say? What's meshuach sha'avar? This is a kohen that was meshuach, but he got sick, or he became tameh, or he got a mum, okay? Or he became tameh, temporarily even. Okay, and he's no longer functioning, or even at this moment he's not functioning as the kohen gadol. And in step the Merubeh B'gadim. So now what's the status? Because we did say the Meshuach is on a higher madriga. However, he's not functioning as a Kohen Gadol right now. So what are they saying? Merubeh B'gadim adif to Merubeh B'gadim avid avoda. V'ilu Meshuach sha'avar lav bar avodahu. Okay? He's not functioning in the Beit HaMikdash anymore. So therefore, clearly, he should be the one who becomes Tameh and not the Merubeh B'gadim. Now we're going to have two Kohanim, okay, seemingly at the same level. Two Kohanim, Gdolim, that stop being Kohanim, Gdolim. By the way, we saw this before, that Malim B'Kdusha Ve'em Moridim, we saw this in Yoma, and that once you're a Kohen Gadol, you always have a certain higher status. Okay, you don't lose your status. So that's really what they're talking about here. So now, Avar Machmat Kiruyo, Avar Machmat Mumo. So now you have two Kohanim, Gdolim. One is a Baal Keri, which means what? That he has to tovel, and by the end of the day, he'll be tahor already and go back to work. Or you have a kohen that was a baal mum, who obviously, now that he became a baal mum, right, he can no longer go back to being a kohen and working. So, avar machmat kiruyo, avar machmat mumo, avar machmat kiruyo adif. He's clearly on a higher of madrega. Why? De'ilu hai chazi lavoda lemachar. V'ilu avar machmat mumo lo chazi la'avoda. Right? The mum will never go back to work, and the one who has the carry will go back to work. So again, you're ending up with, right, the one who has the mum is going to be the one who's going to be metame lameh, because he's in a lesser level.
Mum can't be temporary?
Generally not, I think. I guess you could have a temporary moon. I wonder if a temporary moon passes you, what would be a temporary moon? Don't know enough about it.
It's just as one who's disqualified for a longer period of time.
Here. So look at Tosfot. Bein mum kovea, bein mum over. Machma kiriyo adif techazel avoda machar. Machma mumo lo abid ad shiatrape mumo. Okay, there you have it. So a mum that will pass... still not going to pass tomorrow, okay? It's not going to pass as quickly as Carrie will. But you're right, it's not long-term, okay? Thanks for pointing that out. Okay, Ibailahu. Now we have another, we're going to have two new Kohanim, okay? Who are these? The Meshuach Milchama and the Skan. Okay, remember what the Meshuach Milchama is? He's the Kohen who's appointed to go talk to the people before they go out to war, right? And he says... you know, if you planted a vineyard and you're within your first year, if you got married, and he's the Kohen Mashuach. There's a machloket among the Mefarshim as to whether he actually does avoda also, or he's just a Kohen Mashuach Melchama. Okay? There's difference of opinion about what exactly this Kohen Mashuach does. And then there's the Skan. Who's the Skan? You remember? He's the one in waiting for the Kohen Gadol in case the Kohen Gadol becomes Tameh. He needs to function as the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So he's the Kohen in waiting. So what's the difference between them? Can you think about it? The Meshuach Milchama right now has a job, right? The Skan doesn't have a job right now. He's just in waiting.
On the other hand...
Does he need to... Well, first of all, right, he's a Kohen. He still can't become Tameh. The other thing is, the Kohen Meshuach Milchama doesn't work in the Mikdash. Now again, whether he doesn't work at all or he just doesn't work as like a Kohen Gadol, right? Whereas the Skan... could potentially function as the Kohen Gadol in the Mikdash. So we'll see these differences, okay? And then this is where the real values discussion comes in, which is who's more needed: the guy who's going out to help them with the war, or the guy who's doing the avoda in the Mikdash? Which sounds very much like right the current debate of learning in yeshiva over fighting the war, right? You can almost see. This is a little bit of an allusion to that. Okay, let's read inside. It's very interesting. So Ibailahu. Meshuach Milchama v'skan heiminayu adif. Meshuach Milchama adif dechazi l'milchama, because he's going out to help the people in war. Odil maskan adif dechazi l'avodah, because he's ra'oy l'avodah, and therefore is he greater. Tashma. Let's learn it from here. Titania. Ein bein meshuach milchama l'skan. There's no difference between them. Ela she'im hayu mahalchim baderech umitzao meit mitzvah yitma meshuach milchama ba'al yitma haskan. Okay, so there you have it. Okay, that the meshuach milchama is less important. Okay, the skan is more important, and he shouldn't become tameh. So okay, it seems pretty straightforward. Now the Gemara asks, v'hatanya meshuach milchama kodem l'skan. But doesn't it say somewhere else that the Meshuach Milchama comes before the Skan? Okay, so now we're going to see what this means. Amar Mar Zutra, Le'inyan Hachayoto, Meshuach Milchama Adif. Mai Taima, Ditalu Be Rabim. U'le'inyan Tum'a, Skan Adif. Okay, there's two different issues. When it talks about Meshuach Milchama Kodem L'Skan, what are we talking about? If there's not enough food to feed them both, okay, this is why it's a real value, right? This is the typical, right? You're in a desert, and, there's two people, and there's only enough food for one. Who gets the water, right? So here, what do you have? If it's a matter of l'hachayoto, we're going to do the Meshuach Milchama, because the rabbim are dependent on him, right? They need him. They need him to go out to war with them. But when it comes to tuma, since the tuma, right, now we get to... if there's a mate mitzvah, so who's going to become Tameh? There it's no longer an issue of who's more needed. It's a matter of who is the tumah worse for. Now, since the Meshuach Milchama doesn't necessarily work in the Mikdash, and the Skan is next in line to do the Avodah, it might be needed, so clearly we're not going to have him become Tameh. Okay, so we're going to distinguish when it comes to tumah and when it comes to life needs. So in the end, what's interesting is the sugya sides with it. We're going to talk about this debate of giyus versus learning. It sides with giyus. because it's saying that in the end, in terms of life and death, what's more important? The one who Rabbim were depending on, right? Which is interesting because you could say the scum, the Rabbim were depending upon him because he's doing the avoda for the whole community.
Yeah.
Never remember, he's not exactly doing the avoda. He's the next in line.
He wants
right, there's also, but it doesn't talk about that. It's, what's interesting is it doesn't say he's vada. It says he's talibei Rabbim, and therefore they need him for war, and therefore he's more important for life, sustenance. Very interesting. Okay. Okay, so now we're going to see Linyan Tumaskana. Divtitanya, because it says in a Braita, Rabbi Chanina ben Antiginu Somer, Lama Tiknu Skan le Kohen Gadol, Shimirabo Psul, Harei Nechnasu Meshamesh Tachtav. Okay, so therefore you see that he's needed for the Inyan Tuma, right? That he can't become Tame because he has to be there in waiting. Okay. Now they're going to go back to the Mishnah. Adkan lo pligi ela b'kohen gadol b'nazir, ki ka'azle b'hadeh hadadeh. The whole machloket between them, remember, two people walking in a path, right? And they come across the main mitzvah only when they're walking together. Aval chad chad lechudeh barit muyeinun. Okay, but if each one comes upon the mate individually, they each become chayav to deal with the mate. Okay, then there's no cancellation. Each one had an independent chiyuv about it. Minahane mile, where do we learn this from? Titana rabbanan al kol nefashot mate lo yavo. Bamea kachub medaber. Okay, here's the pasuk. Okay, you can look at the whole pasuk. This is by the Kohen Gadol. Al kol nefashot mate lo yavo la'avivu li'imo lo yitama. Okay, right? That's Kohen Gadol. So we're going to first see the source for the Kohen Gadol being, okay, what we want to get to here, and we're only going to finish this up tomorrow, is what's the source for the Kohen Gadol and for the Nazir being allowed to be Metame to make mitzvah? Because he's very clear from the Psukim, they can't be Metame at all. So Tana Rabbanan, Al Kol Nefashot Meit Lo Yavo. That's what it says in the Pasuk. Bamea Kachu Metaber. What's it talking about, Al Kol Nefashot Meit Lo Yavo? Iberichokim Kavachomerhu. If they're talking about people who aren't related to him at all, so it's a Kavachomer. Uma Kohenid Yochu Metame LeKrovim, Eno Metame LeRichokim. Kohen Gadol Sheino Metame LeKrovim, Eno Din Sheino Metame LeRichokim. Right? If the Kohen Hedyo can't be Metame to Rechokim, right? It just means people who aren't the seven close relatives. If they can't be, and they can be Metame to their relatives, if the Kohen Gadol, which we know from the continuation of the Pasuk, Avivu Limo Lo Yitama, he can't even be Metame to his relatives, obviously he can't be Metame to people who aren't his relatives. So, Ela B'Krovim HaKatub Medaber. So therefore, it must be talking about Krovim, and what's it telling you? Ula Aviv Hu De'eno Metame, HaMetame Hu L'Meit Mitzvah. Okay, so what must it be coming to tell you? There's Al Kol Nefashot Meit Lo Yavo comes to tell you he can't be Metame to any of his relatives. So then what do you need the continuation to say? La'aviv li'imo lo yitame. It's obvious, lo yitama to them. So the answer is, it's specifically his father and mother he can't be Metame, but he can be Metame to a Meit Mitzvah. And as if it just said, Al Kol Nefashot Meit Lo Yavo, it would include everybody, including a Meit Mitzvah. Because it says, Al Kol Nefashot Meit Lo Yavo, which is clearly referring to his seven relatives, because we wouldn't need it to tell you otherwise, then, because already we know about the Kohen, that you can't be Metame to everyone else, then La'aviv u'l'imo must be coming to teach you something new, which is specifically his parents, but a Meit Mitzvah he'd be allowed to. Okay? And that's what it means. Which also explains why it specifically says just Aviv and Imo, and it doesn't say all seven. Right? It's kind of just adding this to tell you, obviously you can't be Metame to all seven or to anybody, right? The addition is, these, you know, but yes, there is someone that you can be Metame, and that's a Meit Mitzvah. Obviously, it's a drasha on the pasuk, but you could, you know, you could see where they get to the drasha. Okay? And obviously, like I started this year with, or this parak with, the value of a Meit Mitzvah is stressed in many places about, you know, there's a whole, I now remember, there's a whole list of like a hierarchy. If you have Meit Mitzvah and you have something else in front of you, I don't remember what the whole list was. I'll try to look it up for tomorrow. You know, which one comes first? And I believe that Meit Mitzvah wins out usually over everything. There's a whole discussion about it somewhere. I can't have to look it up where it is, but there's a whole discussion. I wonder if it comes up even here, but anyway, well, I'll bring it up for tomorrow, what that list is, and, you know, always the Meit Mitzvah is at the top. And that obviously was the, you know, is the motivator behind these drashot that we're going to see as to where we learn that the Nazir and the Kohen Gadol are allowed to be Metame to make Mitzvah.